pick yourself up and dust yourself off, get back in the saddle. You're on the front line. Everyone's watching. You know it's serious. We're getting closer. This isn't over. The pressure on. You feel it, but you got it all. Believe it.
When you fall, get up.
Oh. If you fall, get up.
Hey.
Samina mina zangalewa.
Because this is Africa.
Samina mina waka waka. Samina mina.
This is time for Africa.
Listen to your God.
This is our motto.
Someone's calling me now. Your time to shine.
No hesitation.
Don't wait in line.
Today's your day.
People are raising their expectations.
I don't know where you went.
Go on and feed them. This is your moment. No hesitation. Today is your day. I feel it.
You pave the way.
Believe it.
If you get down, get up.
Oh.
When you get down, get up.
Hey. Samina mina.
Zagawala.
This time for Africa.
Dun, 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 dun.
Shakira will be proud, gentlemen. Will be proud. That was painless.
Yeah, that was done.
Make sure the mics are on you guys, man. Thanks so much for opening up the show.
No,
it's our little thing that we do here. So welcome to the studio.
Thank you for having
Thanks
us.
For reaching out. I think you reached out to me like when? Beginning of the year or last year?
It's been a long time back and forth.
How'd you find us?
I think you guys are getting very famous in the construction industry. I think
people
are
talking
about you.
We just talk construction. We just shoot the shit. That's all it is. We ruffle feathers.
And that's what we do every day.
That's what you guys do. But you guys, like Ronnie started as a small little... How did Ronnie start?
I think Ronnie started 45 years ago through the founder, whose name is Giocondo Nero. And he's still actively working at Ronnie Excavating and managing most of the Ronnie scope and... very young at heart, and he keeps going.
How old is he now?
I don't know. How old is he? Almost in his mid-70s or 80s?
I think it's mid-70s.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let me welcome, first of all. Mike Jesus is here, and then Hamza Momid.
Momid,
yeah. So, yes. Mike, you're senior site super.
Correct.
And then Hamza, you're director of special projects.
Yes.
What exactly does that mean, director of special projects?
They should change it to special needs.
Director of special needs.
No, I'm just joking.
Who's... You can find these guys, pretty much anybody in construction knows who Ronnie is, but you guys are all over the place. At some point when you're in lovely Toronto traffic, you'll see a Ronnie truck, something. You'll see the sign somewhere. It's just That's all true. Over the city. You guys are just focused mostly in Ontario?
We're now growing in Ottawa as well.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay, that's good. So you can find them online, ronigroup.ca, info@ronigroup.ca, also on Instagram under @ronigroup.ca. And then, hang on, quick shout out. I got to do a quick shout out to Pinnacle. I'm wearing his hoodie today. Safety Corner, your weekly guide to safer construction. Introducing Safety Corner, the latest must-watch show from the creators of the construction life. Co-hosted by safety expert Philip Farrar and powered by his S1 Safety Division, this 30-minute weekly series cuts through the noise to bring you real footage and raw insights from actual job sites. No fluff, just hard-hitting analysis, and Philip and myself break down what went right, what went wrong, and what could have gone catastrophically wrong. Each week, we tackle the biggest safety issues facing the industry today, sharing the knowledge every tradesperson needs to make it home safe. Whether you're on the job or managing the site, Safety Corner is here to help you build smarter, safer, and better. Tune in to revolutionize the way you approach safety on the job. Catch Safety Corner weekly because safety isn't just important, it's essential. But you guys, iron forming, what is it? Sorry, you have iron forming, iron shoring, Ronnie Group, Orin demolition, Ronnie excavation, iron water. What is it, just water?
Waterproofing.
Waterproofing. And then Orin Landscaping, Orin Civil.
And Orin Concrete, our latest division.
And Orin
division.
Concrete.
Yes.
Yeah. Why the Orin Iron Ronnie?
Why?
Yeah, the three different
all,
names.
They just keep playing with the four acronyms. So it all starts with Nero, what's the last name of the owner of the company.
Yeah.
And that's how they came up with all the other names. So Orin, Iron, Ronnie, they're all... just playing with those four letters.
How long you been with them, Mike?
It's going to be my fourth season.
Fourth season? Yeah. Where are you coming from?
I came from another company. I used to work out for like 15 years. I used to work for a paving company before.
Yeah.
And I came over, joined up with Ronnie Group. And since then, it's been nothing but good.
Now, is it Ronnie Group or is it Ronnie Group?
Ronnie.
Listen, man, like some people call my last name Neves, Neves, and I'm like, listen, Neves. It's not Neves, I'm sorry. Neves, yeah, exactly, right? If you got a Portuguese tongue or Spanish, then it's Neves, right?
Yes.
But you get all the mungie cakes here in Canada, Neves, right? And I'm like, I'm sure your name is pronounced differently too.
Momid. Momade.
But you don't get the white guys saying something else?
Momade? Sometimes no? they just give up sometimes and just... Just stick
the
to
Portuguese answer. Will say mamad.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But that's the beauty of construction.
Yes.
We're just a melting pot. We get along even though we'll make fun of each other.
Yes.
That's what you're supposed to do, isn't it?
You're supposed to have fun while you're working and respect each other, enjoy what you're doing, and time goes by.
Is construction still fun these days?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Not gotten too strict?
Well, strict for the better way, for the safety and everything, right?
Yeah.
But it's still fun. Like, you're working outdoors and you get to see everything. To me, personally, I love working outside.
You're playing hooky today, no?
No, not really.
No?
No.
So you booked this and all of a sudden you told Mike and that's it? There was somebody else that was supposed to come or no?
No, me and Mike are the core team members.
Okay, yes. All right. But other than that, if you're not doing this, Mike, you'd be on site.
Correct.
But then if you're not doing this, you'll be where? In the office?
I'll be in the office or on site, depending on where the problems are.
What problems?
So many issues. Look, the phone call just keeps going.
There's no problems. Let them know that you're on a call. Answer that. I've encouraged people to answer the call while we're recording. So I can get the inside scoop all of a sudden, especially if they start yelling. That'd be kind of funny, eh?
That would be the best closure ever.
How big are you guys now? How many employees?
I think we're hitting almost 1,400. Yes, in terms of employees in and out of the office.
And you guys are building, what's the smallest thing you build, contributed to, and what's the biggest thing you build?
I think the biggest thing will be the LRTs, and the smallest thing would be the demolition work that we're doing, or even small landscaping work that we do at subdivisions.
Crosstown?
We're at Crosstown.
Yes. Crosstown,
yeah. No, which LRT are you guys working on?
Finch.
Oh, the Finch one?
Yeah.
Is that going to open up before the crosstown?
Yeah.
Why are you guys opening it up before the crosstown? What's the speculation without getting in trouble here?
I think it's just organization.
So why was the Finch done well and the crosstown not done so well?
It's all different GCs, different leaders, right? So
you guys were on board the whole line on the Finch?
Basically, yeah. Basically, we're from 27 all the way down to Kiel.
For some scopes, we are all the entire, and some scopes, we are partial. So landscaping would be the entire Finch, and road works, we are almost at 40, 50% of the scope.
What was the biggest problem solved on the Finch line for you guys? Like, what was the hurdles that came along, and then you guys solved it?
There are many hurdles that we faced on Finch Line. I think in the beginning, we learned a lot from the crosstown experience. I mean, we were also there, but in a smaller capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure other contractors also learned the hard lessons from the crosstown project and implemented on Finch. So communication was one of the major challenges we faced. We didn't know who we should speak to. And there are so many stuff on the ownership side that we had to... who's delegated what responsibility, who's the right person to speak to, and how do we get decisions made quicker? So as soon as decisions are made, we can proceed on construction site.
Why do decisions take so long to get made? Is it because of fear of termination? Nobody wants to take the responsibility?
I think experience is a big issue. I don't think a lot of people that we were speaking to had the sufficient experience and understanding. And the scope is so massive. It's a mega project. And nobody can just sit down and read the entire contract and be able to figure out everything before making that call.
But a mega project, it depends on who you hire to do it.
like every project, if you think about it in civilization, is always a big project at the starting point until someone figures it out. Someone wanted to build a tunnel between France and England. That's a mega project. That's a major one. Nobody's ever done it, but they figured it out and did it. So I don't understand why Canada, I'm just assuming there's a lot of government interference on some of these projects that slows things down. That's an assumption of mine. I don't know if that's the case, but Canada needs to put this huge convenience store mirror on both ends of the country and start looking outward to other countries that have done similar projects and figure out how to do that. Why do we need to reinvent the wheel? Am I talking shit here, or like, are we going to get in trouble?
I don't think so. I think you're being honest with what you're saying. It's just when you're doing projects, like especially like on Finch there, and you run into an obstacle, then it's nobody can make a decision. It has to be all design changes.
But they're not making the decision for what? That's why I go back to in fear of termination. They don't want to take the responsibility. Nobody ever wants to be, if it goes wrong, I'm saying. Obviously, as a construction company, you guys get hired. It's your job to mobilize. And okay, fine. So we're going to do this run. Here's the run from A to B. Here are all the hurdles. Here are all the problems. You guys are doing all the homework before a shovel gets into the ground first, no?
Correct.
So what's the fear part of it? Who's afraid?
These are design build projects. So the entire design is not ready before we mobilize. It's
tendered and awarded before it's actually designed and prepped.
Yes, and we design as we go. So there's a lot of decisions to be made almost on a weekly basis.
So who's the cart and who's the horse in that scenario? The government the cart, or are they the horse?
I think government has subcontracted to Metrolinx and their construction contractors, who are the main governing councils. And the contractors is us and many others that are on the hook for majority of. As soon as they make decisions, we can keep going. And luckily, I think the difference, if you go back to the question you had earlier, between Finch and Eglinton would be that we made a lot of good decisions and very fast decisions that helped us with the progress that we needed to do.
So I would wish that a future project would come down the pipe and they would do, I don't know if this is happening, I'm sure that, I hope, there's a case study being done of the Crosstown LRT. And there's probably a case study of what you guys were a part of too, to figure out where the ball was dropped on the LRT and why the ball never dropped on the Finch, and figure out, we don't want to do this LRT again. We need to do this Finch again. Is that not the case? Or is the government not going to spend money on trying to figure out what went right, what went wrong?
I think the government will spend the money on case studies because it will save us a lot of money in the long run.
In the future, right? Because you obviously want to, I'm sure you guys heard Ford talk about the tunnel, right?
Yeah.
I've been joking about that since I started doing this show. I said, we need tunnels. Like I paid it. I grew up, I don't know, the Boston, the Big Dig. You remember that project?
No, I don't think I was present.
That would have been late 90s, where Boston had this ambitious project where there was way too much congestion. So they had this project that's saying, listen, we're going to restructure vehicle, public, pedestrian, all at the same time. And it just took a long, long time. Obviously, it went over budget, but now Boston moves a lot better, but not much better, because they've grown in the process that they did this. And I think Toronto needs a big dig. Like removing the Gardner and then just making Lakeshore as wide as Chicago's North Shore Lakeshore, that's not the solution. We need a tunnel to go from the 427 to the DVP. So then if you don't need to go to the core and you need to get to the east or the west, you can without congestion, because you guys see this. I see your trucks and I see your vehicles because we're in traffic.
Yes.
That's why I see them, which is great for you guys because the billboards are there. But the problem is that this city doesn't move fast. You talk to any low-level contracting business, they can't do the amount of service calls that they used to do 20, 30 years ago.
Yes.
They can't get to the next job site. Trades are all designed based on getting to the next job site. Same with you guys. So if there's infrastructure that's not working, we need to start looking at elevated roadways, tunnel roadways. But I don't trust the government to do a tunnel across the 401, because they started talking about Canadian homegrown tunnel contractors. I wouldn't be doing that. I'd be talking to the tunnel guys. They've done it before. I don't care if they're not Canadian, right? Like you work together in tandem, then you make that project work, right?
I think a lot of contractors are coming from abroad, even for the LRT projects. I've seen a lot of companies, Spanish companies, Italian companies that are overseeing and managing some of the scopes. So you're right, yeah. if they have the experience, we should use them.
Three-way the world. These little puppies, I'm speaking from experience. I've actually installed these and I love these. Three-way prefabricated inside drywall corner. The first one-piece solution for perfect, crisp corners every time. With three-way, you'll improve your quality, save on labor, and cut down on time. Traditional methods require three tapes, lots of sanding, and high skill. But with three-way corners, they install in just a fraction of the time with fewer steps. It is adjustable for any angle, reinforced to cover gaps, and designed to blend seamlessly into the corner. Say goodbye to pesky touch-ups and hello to flawless finishes. Try three-way today and revolutionize your drywall game. Perfect corners every time. To purchase or check out some how-to videos to see the installs in action, visit threeway.ca or connect with them at 306-514-3768 or drop them an email at threewaytheworld@gmail.com. Connect with me, TCL, and stop by the studio and get a free pack on us for anyone to try. And trust me, I'm telling you, you'll love it. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
When did the Finch project start?
2017, 2018 would be the excavation.
Shovel part. Down, yeah.
Shovel on the ground.
What was the original budget for that?
I think the entire Finch West would be around $2.5 billion.
And how long did it take? What did they anticipate that it was going to take?
I don't know the answer yet on how much it's going to be because those numbers are not revealed. But
are they over budget?
Yes.
A lot. I don't know these numbers. That's why I'm asking. So I don't know.
I also don't know the actual details. Right.
Do you know, Mike?
Because we just know our contracts.
Come on. Contractors on site talk all the time, man. We read papers. It's
not that much.
Okay, 2 points.
Not that much. They really don't know. They really don't discuss a lot with it.
We discuss our scope.
Yeah. Any LRT project, it's always going to be over budget.
Have you guys either worked on other projects outside of Canada? Construction projects?
Yes.
And on a scale of 1 to 10, how are Canadian projects compared to those projects?
Technology-wise, very behind.
Canada?
Yes.
Yeah, we are. Yes. Really behind.
Yes.
Talk about the cart and the horse.
Yes.
We're still using shovels to excavate a pit. So how do we change that? What do we need to change that? I don't think it's workforce. I think we have the workforce. I think we have the workers. I think it's less government inferior. That's what I'm thinking, right? As you can probably tell, I'm not a fan of the government, right? You guys have to deal with the government.
I think you need a lot more investment from the government on technology to help improve the workers' construction methodologies. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah.
But my thought process is to have less government involved in these projects and have more professionals involved in these projects. Bring in consultants from around the world that have done these projects similar and then get their advisory thoughts on it to help us build it faster.
They have done that from what I've read recently with a company called Sistra. And they're a consultant that they brought in, and I think they have an office in Australia and I believe one in Europe as well. Mm-hmm. And all they've done is railway projects. And they are coming up with a new concept called Sunrise to Sunset. And I don't know the details yet because I just read about it as an abstract. And that is to help improve the production and efficiency of construction projects in the future, similar railway projects in Canada. So maybe you're right. I think they're hearing and they're listening to what you're saying. And
so this is from their data, from projects that they've done in their country?
Yes.
And they're applying it to here now?
Yes.
Well, that's a good move, no?
Yes, I believe so. I think it's a very good move. We have to learn from the best, and hopefully that helps us improve ourselves. So maybe they're the best, or maybe they are
better. But I find Canada and construction, especially civil, when it comes to government, they don't do that. I don't know. Like if you're playing playground and you're building a team and it's whatever, shirts versus skins or whatever, Canada for some weird reason is always choosing the last pick of the team to get the game. And it doesn't make any sense to me. I'd rather pick all-stars and get them all in here. It doesn't matter where they are from across the country or across the world. I don't understand why we don't do that. That's what I'm just trying to get at, right? There's a lot of good trades workers from all over the place. Across Canada too. Out west, there's more challenges. Out east, there's more challenges. But I get that Ontario is a hub, right? We have the most, work that's going on in this province. but I want to see things move a lot faster, right?
We all want to see things move a lot faster.
Is it interesting? Like, I'd love to talk to you about trying to get the original owner of Rony on because I'd love to ask him, 45 years in the business, what was Toronto like 45 years ago? I've seen pictures of what the skyline looked like. I don't recognize it today, but I'd like to see how he has seen it. Did it get better or worse? Did it get, like, is it on track to be what it should be? I still think that Toronto, specifically, being the biggest city in this country, could be so much bigger. Properly so much bigger. That's what I'm trying to go at, right?
What do you think, Mike? I mean, you've lived your whole life here.
Don't worry. I know you guys have to kind of be a little careful, a little politically correct. No. I get it. I don't have to be, though. Unless I'm going to get a knock on the door, right? Like,
yeah. I find, no, Toronto's very congested right now. And
But it's congested on so many different levels. Like, we're introducing, like, even go back to Ford now. He's getting rid of bike lanes.
After spending all that money?
So now you're going to spend more money to get rid of them. And then when he gets booted out, right? Because we all know that people get voted out, not voted in.
They'll do it again. Yep.
When are you guys going to start driving dump trucks that are electric?
Oh, I don't know about that.
With a trailer that has a generator that's feeding it.
I don't know about that.
Has that not been introduced yet? Like, first of all, this is big machinery, big construction. You can't operate this stuff off of a battery.
Oh, they got some trucks, right? Delivery trucks is electric.
Yeah, with the FedEx, we're seeing those. They're cute looking. It's great. They're delivering boxes of cardboard.
Exactly.
You guys are hauling earth.
Exactly.
A box of cardboard and a battery makes sense to me. Take the Duracell, take care of that. Moving earth, I need a power. I need a diesel. I need power, horsepower, torque. I need that. That's how we move things, right?
That's a very good idea. Something we learned from you.
I'm just fascinated that you guys are kind of working with the government, but Toronto's not moving in a good direction. Mm. It's a mess, honestly. It's a mess, right? Like, we have all these projects starting, and then it's great that you guys get work, you get projects, you tender, you compete, then you mobilize the workforce, which is great, so we give them work. But I miss the days of Toronto, like in the 70s, man. Everybody was excited about the CN Tower being built. Mm. Like, that was a huge spotlight on this city, country, and also the workers. Everybody that was associated with that build was proud to, it was no different than any other skyscraper in any other major city. What do we do now? We fight with politicians about what project's going to get approved, what project isn't going to get approved, and, you know, what project didn't work out. When they did the revamping of the St. Clair line, and all of a sudden, you know, they sacrificed all the businesses, no parking, no whatever, for so many years. Then Bombardier throws on the first streetcar on there, and it doesn't work. It doesn't fit the track. So nobody communicated between the manufacturer of the streetcar and the manufacturer who was building the roadway. And then they had to redo all the roadway. And I still think it's still closed, as far as I know. Is it still closed, or are they running trains on that?
St. Clair, no, they're running trains.
They're running, so they finally run it, right? But for years, they had the big yellow signs at every single stop, not in service after it was rebuilt. So that's where there's, like, this disconnect going on, which I really want to find out who's responsible for that disconnect and get rid of them.
It's too many layers of communication. Many layers
of communication. In today's digital age, where it's so easy to communicate with so many people, there's too many layers of communication.
Many layers of communication. Not only at Ronnie, but also, I mean, within the ownership. I think it's almost impossible to get a decision or know who is going to make a decision. And it's a revolving door. People keep changing so quickly. It's so difficult to keep up. And whenever a new person starts, we're reinventing the wheel, like you said earlier. Restarting the whole process, briefing the person, making sure that they understand where we are at, what happened, how we got there. And then that person leaves again. It's very stressful. It happens so fast. And the calls keep coming. We want decisions on site. We want to know what's next. So someone has to take the hit.
But as a construction company, like, are we not, you guys correct me if I'm wrong here, we just want to build. Give us the plans, give us a project, give us a scope, give us all the answers. The men and women, we want to build. Whether that's the administrative side of things, to prep the on side of things, to the finishing side of things, we want to build. We don't want to stand around scratching our heads, what are we building today? What are we putting together today? We constructors, workers want to build. We have a workforce here in this country that really wants to build. They want to contribute. But when you keep on tying up things here, it frustrates us. Like, does it not frustrate us?
I think Mike made a good joke the other day. I'll let you speak, Mike, in a second, where he said
Portuguese
that
Portuguese contractor made a good joke? That never happens.
Where where Mike said that it's faster to build the curb than to get the paperwork done for the curb.
That's what I mean.
It's all the details. It's all the specifications they want. So by the time you get everything in your hands, it's like...
But 45 years ago, Roni started. Was it like that?
No.
You want a curb here? All right, turn around. Oh, look, it's done.
Correct.
But now it's what? Turn around and turn around again and turn around again and do-si-do and put your left foot in, take your left foot out. Like, that's what happens today. It's a song and dance.
Yep.
So get rid of that song and dance. We don't need music playing. We need work happening.
Yes.
There's too many middlemen
and women.
Slash women. In the middle there, that keep changing everything, right? So you have to go through one person to the other person to the other person just to get an answer.
I'm so confused that the government that has no construction experience is telling the construction industry that has all the experience what to do. It's confusing to me.
The lesser experience you have, the higher your position is, the more money you make.
Yep.
The more you know, the further you should stay in the pegging line. Because you're asking too many questions.
The more you know, the more you stay low.
So how do we change that? Or actually, what country were you referring to that is doing it? Australia, right?
No, I used to live in Malaysia and Singapore in the past.
I'm shaking my head, right? Because first of all, Singapore doesn't have any garbage.
Yes.
They solved that problem. Their roadways and their infrastructure and their movement of all forms of movement work.
Yes.
Why are we not paying attention to what's going on there? Plus, they got the boat on the three towers up there, right? The infinity pool and everything.
Yes.
So it's just, they're a little strict with the gum on the sidewalk things. That's just me, right? But that's why why are we not looking towards that? We should be looking towards cities like that and how they've done it and applied here in Canada and Toronto specifically.
No, we should. We should definitely look at them and get more experts from those countries and see how we can use their knowledge to improve our, like you said, the workforce, we have them. What we need are technology and we need the right direction, and hopefully that helps to, and we need to spend more money on planning as well. I think we don't spend enough money on planning. So if you have good plans in place, you won't need thousands of workers. You'll be able to get the same work done with lesser workforce.
I agree.
More resources will be spent, but unfortunately, with typical set of drawings, we get typical set of work done. So,
what's an everyday day for you, Mike? Like, wake up in the morning?
Wake up in the morning, and sometimes you're waking up to your phone already ringing. 5:30 in the morning, either one crew member is sick and come in, so that's how your day starts. And then it goes all the way down to 9, 10 o'clock in the evening, by the time you're done with your last email.
What's yours, Hamza?
My starts around 7 a.m. And same thing, like Mike said, a lot of calls in the morning and for missed calls or messages, and make sure that whatever was supposed to be planned didn't go well. So now what's plan B? Or what's plan C? And it ends later at night because there are lots of emails and messages sent late at night to make sure that they read first thing in the morning.
See, I asked both of you guys a typical day, and what I got from it is that you guys problem solved. Doesn't matter what day it is, you guys problem solve. Problem comes up, you look at figuring out how to solve that. Solutions, right? I look at how the system is set up in Canada. They problem add without any solutions. So just, I want to get rid of who's ever adding into the bucket of problems and not contributing to solutions in the bucket of problems, right? Because contractors, workers, they problem solve. No?
Yep. To me, it sounds like it's the person that doesn't solve that problem. Just puts it aside. Waits until he's ready to solve that problem.
That's not the way construction works.
No.
It doesn't move forward. We could be such an innovative country with really interesting structures and having movement of all of a sudden. Listen, I love green. I love being green and all that shit. I hate EVs because they just look like shit. I don't want to drive one. I'm a combustible engine guy. I'll never get a battery lawnmower and all that. I don't, that's not me, right? But I like cities that allow people, cars, bikes, motorcycles, public, move. The objective of moving is from going A to B. When you start blocking B, people don't want to be a part of the infrastructure anymore. So they either leave because it's too much resistance to try to change anything, right?
There is such a big spike of reverse migration. I mean, this year and also last year it was not well spoken about, but this year there's massive reverse migration, unfortunately. And it's because people are not getting to B, but they're not getting the jobs they're looking for. It's getting too expensive. And it's frustration that adding up, and even suicide rates are going up as well. So it shows that stress is quite alarming stage at present.
When it comes to spray foam and blown-in insulation for your next project, there's no better team than Mohammed and his crew at Foamit. With well-educated, skilled installers, Foamit doesn't just get the job done, they do it right. They take the time to properly estimate and educate you on every aspect of your project, ensuring your building envelope is airtight and energy efficient. As leaders in the industry, they bring a deep understanding of building science to every job, making sure your project stands the test of time. But don't just take their word for it. Past clients constantly praise the quality of work and professionalism of the Foamit team. From homeowners to large-scale contractors, feedback has been overwhelmingly positive, with clients appreciating their attention to detail, the thoroughness of their crew, and the results that speak for themselves. At Foamit, they pride themselves on building lasting relationships through exceptional service, reliability, and the commitment to exceeding expectations on every single project. Whether you're insulating a new build, upgrading an older property, or tackling a commercial project, Foamit is your trusted partner in achieving energy efficiency and comfort. They understand the importance of getting it right the first time, and that's why so many clients return to them for future projects. Connect with Foamit today. Reach them at 416-893-8712 or 647-961-9777. Email them at mohammed@foamit.ca or visit them at www.foamit.ca. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn to see their latest projects and innovations. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
45 years ago, Roni Group starts, right? What was Roni?
Ronnie.
I want to make sure that I'm saying it right. When did all the other ones start? Who's the second one was what? What was the second one? So that was 45 years ago. How long did it take to get to the second one? And what was the second one?
20 years ago is when they started Orin and Iron.
Iron and Orin. But yes. Orin was what?
Orin Landscaping and Iron Forming, if I'm not mistaken.
Forming, concrete. But that's all civil?
No, Orin Civil started a little later.
I can't call you guys up to do a deck, right?
You can call us to do a deck, but how big is this deck that we're talking about?
It's probably 2x2.
I'm Portuguese, it'll be a concrete deck. Don't worry, it'll be fine. But okay, so then the concrete, the forming.
Yes.
And then the iron work, so you guys started doing iron.
Iron forming, iron shoring, and then Orin Civil, Orin Landscaping.
That was all 20 less years ago? Or?
Yes, Orin okay. Demo, and now recently we added Orin Concrete. We have iron waterproofing, or is it Orin waterproofing?
Iron
waterproofing, and we also have a shotcrete division that just started.
Are we putting too much concrete in the base of these new structures that are going up in Toronto? I think we're putting too much concrete. I love concrete, by the way. I'm Portuguese, remember. So, but I think, I'm not an engineer, but I think we're putting too much concrete in the base.
A lot of them are over-designed, you're right. Well, extremely over-designed. And we question them, and we always say that you can build 10 more homes on top of these concrete foundations that you have here. But
you guys ever like be on site, and you're working on a project, and right next to it, there's a much older project, and that foundation is nowhere near what's been... You know where I'm going with this, right? And... why are we doing it here? But that building's been there for 100 years and it hasn't moved, it hasn't cracked, it hasn't done anything. It's just there. People use it. But yet we're building the same size of that building right in this hole to get this building started. Over an engineer.
Different codes, less insurance claims in the past, more insurance claims happening now. People are more afraid. They want everything. They would rather save themselves and protect themselves. And the only way to protect is to overspend.
I go back to the fear of fear. Everybody's afraid of losing their job, right? Especially politicians.
Well, when you build, you got to build architect design, right? Whoever calls an architect design, you get your drawings.
What do you mean by that?
Well, if you're going to do a footing on a house, it's all by architect designs, right? So you get your drawings.
Yeah.
And you got to follow it, right?
You can question it, though, if you have more experience than the architect.
Yes or no, because do you have that degree that architect or engineer has?
I have the on-site degree where I've seen other projects built, and I did it, and I worked with other architects that may have been more experienced than this current architect, and so I can question it. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm saying I can question it.
Correct.
But questions cause delays.
There you go.
There you go.
So then you don't question it, and you just go with the flow, and now you're building a structure that's over-engineered. Waste of time, waste of money. We don't move forward. The objective here is to move Canada forward innovatively. We're not doing that. You can't look at Canada now and go, we have a CN Tower today. Someone's building a CN Tower today. We don't have that. We don't have that same kind of pride and connection to the structures that are being built in this country. We're band-aiding most of the stuff that's going on here, specifically Ontario.
I think the well project built by Tridel and Elliston was quite significant and efficient, and it showed that we still have the workforce that can build structures like that. And
it's private, no?
Yes, it's REIT and some other.
Private and civil.
Yes.
Two different planets, one's flat, one's round, is where I'm trying to go with, right? You can look at the private projects.
Yes.
And they're actually run pretty well. Why don't we have the public speaking to the private then? Because they look at, I agree with you. The well is very impressive. Extremely impressive. I missed the Globe and Mail building there, but I get innovation. I get it. I missed the Lamborghini dealership. I missed the Harley Davidson dealership that was on the other end of it. But I mean, I get that whole stretch of land there. They're supposed to be extending front, isn't it? Past Bathurst? Are they talking? Or are they still going to do that?
I'm not sure about that.
Where all the sea cans are right now.
I'm not sure.
I thought there was a rumor that they were going to try to extend that. But then Tory had that rumor building the park over the roundhouse, over the trains, right? The connection. He wanted to build a whole elevated park. And I'm like, it's beautiful. Canada, Toronto needs more park. Mm. Right?
It definitely needs more parks, more green, like you said. At the same time, a balanced approach towards greenery, and at the same time, remain efficient and move forward in a way that makes us proud, like you said, we were 40 years ago.
Like, it took Canada, specifically Toronto, 45 extra years to agree on our subway system when we already had New York and Chicago to compare ourselves to. So we already had an idea of what to do, how to do it, but it took politicians wasting 45 years and tax dollars to start our inferior subway system. If it was me, I'd be putting marketing pictures all over the city of Paris's subway system, Japan, Tokyo's subway system, and compared to Toronto's subway system.
The hope is we'll get somewhere there, close to Japan. And
when? In our lifetime?
No, never.
Because the thing is, today things get even more expensive. Even though we're getting more efficient with machinery and new technology, it's gotten more and more expensive because of those delays. That's what I get so and I go back to, we just want to work. We want to get our hands dirty and build things. But you're not allowing us to start the race, let alone get to the finish line.
And high interest rates are not helping that either.
Imagine telling Usain Bolt not to go yet. No, wait. Imagine telling them that. That's what you're doing with the construction industry right now. You're telling them to wait.
And it's affecting people who are actually waiting. I think they're sitting at home while they could be on site. I think global warming, it's not a good thing, but it's helping Toronto. It's getting warmer during winters, and we can work longer seasons. I think last season, I was surprised the amount of work that we could have done and we did not, compared to previous season when it was cooler. I think last season, we only had 3 or 4 bad winters days.
It was like one bad storm.
So we could have done so much more work.
Yeah.
Compared to in the past.
Why do you guys love construction? Why do you guys love construction? You got to love it.
Yeah, I think it's in my Portuguese blood.
It's just how it is. It's like there's concrete in the veins.
Yep.
Was your dad in construction too?
No.
You're the first in the family or no?
No. My brothers, my kids, They're all in construction.
How old are your kids?
One is 27, 24, and my 16-year-old daughter.
She's in construction too?
No.
Oh.
She's still in school.
Okay.
I'm not that much of a Portuguese slave, you know, bring her out to work. Listen, already.
I like seeing the kids run the excavators, you know what I mean? Like, let them learn how to do that. That's got, like, learning. I'm not making them work. I'm not giving a paycheck, but let them learn it. It makes sense. They're playing video games. Technically speaking, it's the same kind of thing. Joystick, steering, it's the same. What do the boys do?
My oldest works for Michaels Canada. He's like a general superintendent there.
Okay.
And then my middle guy, he does utilities for Akon.
Cool. What's your construction?
My father was in construction as well. And my sister is an architect.
Here or somewhere else?
In Portugal.
In Portugal?
Yes.
Was she building, resi or civil?
Coffee shops.
No way.
Yeah, the Portuguese love their
Do
coffees.
They look like the crappy ones here in Canada? No. Is she outfitting like older buildings? Is she doing
yes.
that? See what I mean? Do you see what I mean? Why did I ask that question? Because that's what we should be doing here. We have so many really interesting buildings here that could be Hockey Hall of Fame. That was a nice project.
I don't know much about it, but I hope so. What do you think?
Right at the corner of Young and Front.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I can't stand Front now, what they've done with the Union Station. Did you guys work on the Union Station?
No.
Who worked on the Union Station?
I have no idea.
We'll make sure that you guys didn't work on it before I badmouth it. And it's just like...
There's some flooding of water, I think, recently from what I saw videos.
Like, how did water get in there? It got in there because it was planned incorrectly and it was built incorrectly. And not because of climate and green change, all that crap. It's got nothing to do with that.
Elevations.
Yeah. If it was me, I'd be building right into the lake. If it was me, I'd have jets on the island airport right now. I don't care about the citizens who live on the island there. You guys were there, but technology is ahead of you guys. So it's like we have so many opportunities to do a bunch of stuff. And again, I'd be doing the tunnel. I do the tunnel across the 401. I do the tunnel underneath the Gardner. I do another tunnel underneath the DVP. Tunnels, man, make people move. Invite the world to come and see Toronto's tunnels. TT. There you go. There's a whole marketing campaign right there. Invite people here. Like, we're not inviting people to this country.
Yeah, we definitely need to invite more people, more investors, and I think tunnels will help transportation, and people will find that Toronto is a good place to set up their businesses, and they'll move here.
What's an interesting project you guys are working on right now?
Like, you want to start?
Sorry?
The LRT, that was interesting.
Yeah.
Still is.
I'm working on the LRT, and also we're working together on the flood protection program downtown with Ellis Don. Planting a lot of trees on
where
it's close to the distillery district, very downtown.
There's a lot of construction going around there
close to Cherry Street.
Okay, so you're planting trees to help with flood?
Yes, it's a 100-year-old flood protection program to stop in case in 100 years the water levels rise and they're building whole wetlands in the
okay. Please explain that to me. I don't understand. You're planting trees to prevent flooding.
We're building wetlands, which involves the planting of trees as well.
Okay.
And it's we build the man-made lakes, and it helps to contain and reserve the water. It acts as a first designed barrier against any floods that happen in the time to come. So these trees in 100 years will be established, and they'll be able to prevent. How that works, and we just plant trees. I think that's the most important part that we do.
See, that's the part that I don't understand.
Yes.
That's because they're assuming the water is going to rise.
If it ever rises.
That's what I mean. It's an assumption.
Yes.
Is this at the foot of the Don? Or just to the east of it?
I think it's the east of it.
Yeah, there's by the way, there's a really good brisket place there at the corner of Cherry Street, whatever. What's his name?
He's not doing well business-wise. That's for
no
sure.
Shit. That's what I was just about to say. Because the idea of big machinery blocking everything. Good brisket, though. Not saucy. Really good brisket. I would totally... Greg, he told me about it, and I was 15 minutes away. And I was like, I'm craving brisket, so let me go there, right? And then I was just amazed about how much construction blockage was going around that whole area there. And then I felt for the businesses. That's what that was the first my first thought. You guys are probably suffering now because of this.
We're almost done, so that's the good part of it. Almost done.
Attention homeowners and businesses. Are you looking for top-notch electrical contracting services you can trust? Consider the expert tradesperson behind Effect Electric LTD. They take pride in delivering quality, service, and professional installation on time and on budget. From Kohler generators to main service upgrades or network data installation, they do it all. With years of experience and a commitment to excellence, Carlo and his team at Effect Electric LTD are your go-to professionals for all your electrical and generator needs. Effect Electric LTD is an authorized Kohler home energy generator dealer. Kohler has air-cooled 26 RCA units, the quietest, the most powerful, and exceptionally durable generator with 109 amps max power on liquid propane. Custom color options, camouflage options, and every generator Kohler makes is built to last and is equipped with a commercial-grade engine. Call Effect Electric LTD today at 416-508-7725 or visit them at effectelectricltd.kohlergeneratordealer.com. Let's build something great together. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
Where are you guys building? Like, what's planning? Like, how far ahead are you guys planning? Like, 2025, obviously, but you guys are planning 2026 now? You have projects, you have drawings, you have tendering going on for how far in advance?
3 years in advance.
3 years in advance, eh?
Yes.
So that's what you guys were talking about, because there's going to be, obviously, there's going to be quite a shakeup in government in the next 3 years. How that really fucks with you guys, eh?
I think the government side, we'll have to see how things go, but private side, things are looking optimistic, and interest rates going down are helping people. I know there are lots of layoffs in the present time, but... I think in the next 2 years will be promising. We got the World Cup coming as well. I don't know if that will help the economy by any chance, but as long as Portugal wins, that's important, I believe.
Listen, it's, correct me if I'm wrong, but two games are coming to Toronto. Is it two games? Or is it one game in Toronto, one game in Vancouver?
I don't know. What's the final?
The majority of the games are going to the good old US of A.
Yes.
And the remaining games are going to go to good old Mexico. Toronto is just like a bus stop, unfortunately. So I don't really, okay.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it's nice to say the America's World Cup. I get it. I understand that.
I think the population down south is significant. I mean, they have the buying power that we don't have yet. So economically, they have an advantage over us, right?
You were a hockey country, right? But we're not even, I don't know. So I won't get into that conversation, but. They're rebuilding the BMO field, right? Or they're extending stadium seats or something. I don't know.
Yeah, they're extending it.
They're extending it, right? But it's still not an ideal World Cup stadium.
No.
That's the problem, right?
Yep.
I feel like you guys want to say something, but you can't say something.
We try our best to stay.
No, I get it. I don't want to get anybody in trouble. I have a lot of respect for the company and the brand, what you guys have done. And it's just, I keep saying that I hate contractors being held and preventing them from doing work. I hate it because we should be just letting them go. Because right now with the economic stress, a lot of guys staying at home, right? Nobody's working. Like, a lot of guys are not working right now, which is a shame. So they start stressing because guys plan families. Guys and girls bought houses. Try to, let's go on a trip, let's do an addition, the family's getting bigger. They planned all these things, but now the economic times the way they are right now. And the bank recently just dropping, 50
points.
Still not confidence, there's no confidence there, right? People are not gonna start saying, oh, let's start spending money. It's not gonna happen, right? People are cautious, they have to be.
They have to be, and they should, because, I mean, it's very important to take care of those families, and a lot of responsibilities on every construction worker's shoulders, and it's not that easy out there. But, if more work comes along, we've got the workforce, not only us. I mean, every contractor is just itching to get on the field, like Mike said. We love being outside, mm-hmm. We love working, mm-hmm. And we want to keep working. And I think there's enough work to keep us going, but if there was more, then why not? We say yes to everything that comes along. We want to get things done.
What makes a good constructor? On-site and admin.
Just being organized. Organization, like especially here at Ronnie. It starts from everybody. Like it starts from the top right down to the bottom. Everybody is just perfectly organized. From landscaping to demo to shoring, forming, everywhere all around, it's well organized.
But you're given, it starts in the admin where you're given the organization and now you have to translate that organization on the site, right?
Correct.
But it goes from the site super and then like yourself and then it filters down to all the crews, right?
Correct. Goes to the foremans, workers, and it's just like a circle. That's all we could just keep doing here.
I think we have to take ownership as well, sort of pushing responsibilities. The best part of Ronnie and Oren and Iron is that we each, whoever gets the work, can get the work done, gets it done, rather than push it over to someone else or wait for something to happen. We also have an open door policy. So everyone's door is open, the vice president, or owner, site super, everyone's accessible at any time of the day. So you can message Mike in the middle of the night, he'll reply to you if it's important. And that keeps you going. So I think we have the experience and that allows us to communicate better. If we didn't have the experience, then we'll be hiding behind a closet and waiting for someone else to respond. So we've built that experience over a long time and it's working for us.
Do you guys prefer working on public or private?
Both.
They're both the same. Yeah?
It's the same.
Less restrictions though on private, no?
Correct.
Both is the correct answer. I think public, private, I mean, as long as the person we're working for is a good person and honest, that helps us a lot and doesn't hide behind emails and actually is available to communicate, and that keeps us going. So if we need someone that's experienced on the other side, that helps us a lot. Honest helps us a lot more.
What's a good project for you guys in Toronto? Whether you guys were involved in it or not, but here in Toronto, what's a project you look at and you drive by and you go, hey, that's a nice little, I like that. That's cool.
Well, right now for me, it's the LRT because it's like my fourth season here. So every time I drive by that and see all the trees, all the landscaping, concrete sidewalks, the roads, it's like you drive by with a smile and say, well, yeah. I was part of this, right?
You think the Crosstown guys are doing that?
No, they don't even drive by there no more.
Well, we know they ain't taking the train. Is there a project to Elmsa? I feel like I'm going to get a phone call after this show.
No, I agree. Finch West LRT was a very, very proud project for us. I think Mike and his team did an excellent job, and his leadership was very important in getting things to where they are. I think his experience and his ability to, I know I'm praising him, but he did an excellent work in getting us to where we are today. And if it wasn't for people like Mike, then I don't think we will be anywhere close to finishing these type of projects. So it's very proud that our efforts and our sweats and our experience helped us. And attitude was very important as well. And of course, the union workers, every one of them, whether they're from this country or outside, they all had a huge contribution in bringing us to this stage of life.
Any other projects?
We're trying to do the same at Hero Ontario LRT, where we are also actively involved. But
I have a problem with that project.
That's taking a little longer than it should.
That project should be a subway.
Oh, okay.
Well, we didn't design that.
No, I know, but that project should be a subway. That's like a super ideal for a subway. You got a major city like Mississauga, you got a major city like Brampton. They're probably the two fastest growing cities that are going on right now, one of the two. You got so many people coming to these major cities. I understand the value of having a run from the top of Brampton all the way down to the lake. I get it. But sacrificing two lanes of traffic to put trains on there when you can just do a tunnel and put a subway system in there and keep the two lanes. There's going to be major like congestion there right now. It's going to be major congestion when they continue building it. And when it's finally open and they do the ribbon with all the brand new hard hats and everything like that, this is going to be a mess. I'm not even going to drive on that street because it's going to be a mess. And then again, I feel for the businesses because there's a Caribbean place there that I used to go to and I don't go there anymore. Granny's. Oh. It's a good place. Well, there's Charlie's just up the street, but this is what I mean. It's just like you gotta, there should almost be a survey done from the government where it's like, how are we affecting the small business owners here on these streets, mm-hmm. right? Are we going to contribute to their business or are we going to put them out of business? And I think we should have spent the time and effort and money to figure out how to do a cost-efficient subway. Mm. I've been on St. Clair before. We've had snowstorms and ice storms, and I've seen all those stupid trains stopped because all the lines are frozen.
Wow.
Yeah, it's bad. So now you, on a storm, which is the time that you need public to move, you could have built a tunnel here. You could have built a subway system, and then it would have solved that problem. Now we have a brand new idea in two major cities, and our thought process is LRT, not subway. Dig it up and put a tunnel, man. Like, how much fun was it to build the tunnel? Or build, you had some tunnel sections on the Finch line, right?
Yes.
Or no? Yeah, there's some sections.
Yes. Finch, I believe.
Was that not like a highlight of the project to put the shovel in?
Still the highlight of the project.
That's what I mean.
Yes.
And then it attracts more people to get into the construction to be on projects like that. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, we can't change much now. It's too late. We're building it. So, I mean, I'm sure the idea, they should listen and do subways and underground tunnels for downtown Toronto in the long run. But will they do it? I mean, there's so many utilities underground. It's almost impossible to get through them. It's not that simple to build.
Go deeper. Bypass a lot of the bullshit.
Yes.
I'm not a civil engineer, right? So I don't even know that whole infrastructure. I'm just thinking, go deeper.
They can go deeper, that's for sure.
You're not going to disrupt anything.
No, I don't think there will be some vibrations in whoever's above the house, but we should be fine in terms of if we go deeper, we can actually build, yes.
What's one of the coffee shops that your sister designed in Portugal?
Higg is one of the coffee shops she designed. Higge.
Okay. I'm going to look it up. All right. I'm just curious. Yeah. It's open?
It's open. I think it's doing pretty well.
They must sell natas there, no?
They must have?
Natas.
Natas, Portuguese. Custard tarts. Of course. Pastéis de nata is there. Yeah, they should be. Yes. Yes.
She speaks Portuguese?
Yes.
Where else has she designed?
I think now she's going to design another coffee shop.
In Portugal, too?
In Portugal. She designed a few. Lisbon.
Okay.
Yes, from Odivelas. Yes. Designed a few boutique hotels.
See, I like those, too. I don't like big hotels. I like boutique hotels.
Yeah, so that's what she's
been to the Archer.
Have you tried the deep-fried Portuguese nata?
Deep-fried.
That doesn't sound good. I'm not a Nutella on a nata guy.
Go try it out. Portuguese Chicken House, Kipling and Blur.
They're deep frying natas?
Try it out.
How does that work?
I don't know. I have no idea. But
are you covering the custard?
I have no idea. But from what I've been hearing about it, it's really good.
That sounds like an EV, man. No, I don't know if I'm going to like it.
Try it.
I don't know if I'm going to like it. Like when they brought out the Nutella ones, I tried it once. I only tried it once. There's a place here in Mississauga, they do cranberry natas. And I was like, what's wrong with you people? Do we not want to pay attention to the monks when they started this so long ago? And they never tried that. They didn't sit there and think, well, hang on a sec. We have all these extra eggs. Let's put some berries in there, too. Let's put some chocolate in there and some hazel. No, they just kept it with the eggs, man. I wouldn't like it. I'm telling you that right now. I wouldn't like it. Because a nata is a nata, man. It's just how it is, right? So,
with an espresso coffee.
That's what you should have over here.
Here in this area?
Right here.
Inside here?
Yeah, some Portuguese nata, espressos. When you get the Portuguese construction workers here.
Sometimes I do it, but sometimes I get guests come in here and they bring me booze too, right? And I'm not a big booze guy, but lately it's been a lot of tequila has been showing up, right? I think the older guys are getting on the tequila train because it's not technically, it's the safest, healthiest booze. Right? So I've been getting a lot of tequila lately. Some rum, stuff like that. Nobody's ever brought me agua then.
Oh, no?
No. I thought for sure with all the Portuguese guys, culturally speaking, I would say the majority of my guests have been Portuguese. I'm going to guess on that one. Portuguese and Italian, maybe. The two that are most on the show. It's construction. Consider expert plumbing and drains. When it comes to plumbing, you need someone who's not just skilled, but truly cares about the job they do. Someone like Aaron Bolin and his team at Expert Plumbing and Drains. Aaron has been in the trade for years, and he's built his reputation on one thing, commitment. Commitment to his craft, his crew, and most importantly to you, the client. At Expert Plumbing and Drains, it's not just fixing pipes, it's about delivering the best possible service, every single time, on every single project. So whether you're dealing with a leaky faucet, a stubborn drain, or planning a full plumbing overhaul, Aaron and his team are ready to tackle it all with skill, integrity, and a passion for excellence. Need help now? Call Expert Plumbing and Drains at 905-531-4111. That's 905-531-4111. Or visit them at www.expertplumbinganddrains.com and on social media at Expert Plumbing and Drains Canada. Experience the difference of working with a team that's dedicated to getting the job done right. Because at Expert Plumbing and Drains, your satisfaction is their top priority. You can also email Aaron directly at aaron@expertplumbinganddrains.com. Expert Plumbing and Drains, where expertise meets care. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
They're the biggest representatives of this industry, Portuguese and Italian.
But it must be changing though, right? Like you're getting a lot of immigrants coming from, and even when I got started in construction, I ended up hiring Irish bricklayers, and my dad was a bricklayer. And I was like stunned to meet Irish bricklayers, and they were very, very, they are very, very good. Hardworking farm guys that moved here in the Harper days, you know, and I was impressed by them. Very, very impressed by them. And I had standard for my dad.
Wow.
I was extremely impressed by them, right? So
I think we used Russian saw cutters. We've used Turkish plastering team. And we were not so confident in the beginning, but... they impressed us as well.
I haven't seen a bad constructor from a different place that's not Canada. Like if they've got a good work ethic and they're hungry and they want to learn and they want to get on projects.
Yes.
That's all I care about. You want to be lazy and don't do shit? You and I are not going to get along. That's just how it works, right?
Well, the right attitude goes a long way. And being responsible and keep working hard. And I mean working hard, working smart as well.
Yeah, and safe.
And safe, 100%. Very important to be there, and that goes a long way, that's for sure. And no matter what nationality they are, as long as they got that skills and elements in them, they will go a long way.
I'm just curious, workforce-wise, you guys mentioned, what is it, 1,400? What percentage are female?
We have female operators, we have female workers, we have female managers, we have truck drivers, so... We're not only male. We go with anyone that has the right attitude. Yeah. They're driving the shows. We got female coordinators. So in the office and even on site, female safety officers. Percentage-wise, I think in the office, it's almost 40% female. And on site, I won't be able to give you the right numbers.
You guys are probably above the average, right? The national average, which is closer to 5 or 6%, right?
Oh yes.
In the construction work, depending on different provinces and different segments of construction, right? Oh, but generally speaking, it's about 5 or 6% female.
We're higher than that.
The U.S. is twice that on the general level, right? But they're 10 times bigger.
Yes.
So it's good to hear that you guys are way above the average, right?
Well, we have to. I mean, who do we hire?
You hire anybody who's really passionate about learning about the industry. Simple as that, right?
Yes.
Doesn't matter what skin, sex, religion, doesn't matter. You interested in learning? Come on in. That's my mindset. I've always looked at it that way.
That's the right mindset. I mean, it sets up a good office culture. Mm-hmm. Even on site, it sets up a good culture. And it shows those that want to become successful in the future, they look up and say, look, Mike Jesus did it. So, of course, we can do it as well. So that doesn't stop us.
It sounds like a little jab at Mike there for a second, no?
Well, Mike's here, so I have to talk about Mike. If someone else was here, I would say someone else did it.
So there's a family tree, right? Like, so the dad started it, but are the sons or anybody? Like, I don't know too much about that. Are they're there working as well?
Yes.
Are there sons? I don't know. Daughters?
Yes. Anthony Nero, he's running all of the Orin side.
Okay. Just the one son?
Yes.
Yes. There's a daughter as well, but I don't think she's involved in construction. I think she's more in the healthcare sector.
What's the background? Italian?
Italian.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's running the show now.
They know a thing or two about building.
No, they treat everybody as family there. Like,
yeah, that's how it is.
Everybody's a family there.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's one company that I've seen there, very down to earth. And they've got fruits every Monday morning on everyone's desks, just to show that, which is, I've never seen that in other companies. And the open door policy, anyone can ask questions at any time of the day, which helps us a lot because we're always rushing, except you. And very transparent. And who's doing well, they grow fast. So that helps everyone else in terms of leadership, very strong leadership.
Give me a little bit of the behind the scenes. I'm just curious because I've only seen the photo op, right? When you guys are about to start a project and you get the politicians who come in for the photo op, why is there never any of you guys in that shot? And when I say you guys, I mean the constructors, the tradespeople. Why is it always the suits that are wearing the white hard hats with the golden shovel making that photo op? Why don't they surround themselves? I just bring this up because someone sent me a picture of a historical pic of the Chase Manhattan building in New York with all 3,000 workers that worked on that building back in 1927, 37, whatever, right? And I posted that picture. And there was a photo op of showing the tradespeople who contributed to building that towards the end of the structure. And of course, Phil, who I do a safety show with, he was like, not a single hard hat or harness on any of those guys, right? And I'm like, I'm not talking about that, but there's a photo op of the guys and girls, well, it was all guys at that time, that built that structure. So when they have this photo op, why don't they take the photo op with the hundreds of tradespeople that are about to embark on this structure? Wouldn't that add more value and cred?
Yes.
Or is that just being selfish, in my opinion? Like, I don't know. It's always just them.
Yep.
And we don't know who them are because they don't swing a hammer. They write a document. They sign off on the funds to give it public-wise, right? But I think they would help the industry if the workers were behind them or beside them. That's just me talking crazy.
We did a drone picture, I think, last year when we did all our workers on the Finch West LRT came along and we did all the equipment at the back and all the workers that were part of it.
Perfect.
As the picture, and I think we posted on Global Construction Review, which is an online journal. So, I mean, we are proud of our workers, and these are the guys that actually perform the work. So they should be in the picture. So that's what we did. It was difficult to get all of them in the same place at the same time, and we had to stop some work for a few minutes, but we got there.
But the opportunity to get that photograph is very important. I'm just saying that they are selfishly taking that opportunity away from the people who are about to do the work.
We have a lot of blue shovels in those pictures you're talking about at the back with the Ronnie, so we are there, but workforce is not there.
I don't need a blue or pristine clean shovel. I don't need any. I'd rather have a beat up one that's moved a lot of concrete, moved a lot of earth.
So all the years of experience.
Yeah, that's
and it's still coming along with me.
I'd rather have a hard hat with a bunch of stickers on it. I'd rather have a hard hat that has a bunch of, like, I'd rather have workwear that has some dirt on it. I'd rather do that. I think it's a farce to see men and women in suits with clean hard hats, with pristine shovels. And I go back to people who don't have the experience in construction telling the people who have all the experience in construction what to do. That's all. You could probably tell I got a problem with government.
No, you're right. It's not only about government. It's if someone that knows what they're doing is responsible or 100%. Leading, things will go way smoother.
Yeah.
Way smoother. So it does help along experience, knowing the culture, knowing how things are done in Canada, because many people come from outside, don't have that experience, but they have skill sets that are transferable skills and they can use that. But yes, if the person that's leading the show is someone that knows what they're doing, it will be way cheaper, way faster, and you'll be prouder of the work that's done.
I don't know this, but is there like a car wash for dump trucks or something like that? Or how do the trucks stay clean? Or is there a car wash for excavators? Like, how do they stay clean?
We have our in-house, our own mobile guys. They go out every week and...
So that's how they stay clean. So you guys, they pressure wash and clean.
Pressure wash, clean. It's maintenance. It's every week maintenance. That's what's going to give our equipment to last longer.
That's what I mean. Yeah, it goes towards that. And also goes back to pride.
Yeah.
You know, you want a used piece of machinery, but you want a maintained used piece of machinery.
Yes.
And cleaning it is part of the maintenance. Yep. Simple as that, right? Who's that? What's that job title? He's director of what?
Well, right now he's a general manager, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Who is it? You know what I'm saying?
I think Rob and Paul are leading that department.
See, a little shout out to Rob and Paul.
Oh, Rob and Paul.
Yeah, Paul is with the fleet. Rob's manager for all the heavy equipment.
And Campo.
And Campo as well, yeah.
Yes. Campo?
Yeah.
Rob, Paul, Campo. What are their backgrounds?
I think Campo's Caribbean, Paul's Italian, and Rob is English.
Yeah.
What else do you guys want to share? Ronnie.
We can't forget about Aaron.
Aaron.
What do they do?
So Aaron's the vice president of operations, and Mike Allen is executive vice president of the company as well.
That's pretty big.
They're very hands-on. And they're not computer people. They are hands-on, on the ground, on equipment, so always running around here and there, I mean, helping us solve more problems. And
I think everybody's hands-on. Like even the owner, Giocondo, he'll jump on a machine. You'll still see him run a machine. He'll be on site 5 o'clock in the morning. And he'll start up the machine and he'll start working.
See, I love that.
Like everybody there is all hands on.
Because you need to be.
Yep. So right. It doesn't matter what title you have. It's hands on.
Is the construction industry getting better as a whole?
Define getting better in which way?
Well, I mean, I argue the safety component of it. I don't know if it's getting better safety-wise. I like to see zero fatalities, right? But that's just not realistic, I guess. Are we better than other countries? Possibly. I mean, I've been to other countries and I've seen some very sketchy stuff. Sandals, you know, and shit like that on job sites.
But that falls under supervision of the company. Like 100%. Us here,
it's a reflection.
Yeah, us here, we have a safety team here, and they're always out full force.
Yes.
And they're always watching everything. So anything that there is a safety issue on the job site, and your supervisor, PM, anything on that job site, emails go off right away. What are we going to do? What are we going to do to correct this?
Yeah.
Here's the issue. You get your warnings, everything.
And they're on site within 15, 20 minutes to help document everything, make sure the person that got injured has all the treatments that he needs, get all the paperwork done, and write up preventive actions. How do we stop this from happening again? What went wrong?
What do you guys, obviously last week, the crane collapse, right? That we had in Toronto.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Laird and Eglinton? Uptown.
Yeah.
Yeah, like when you guys hear about something like that, how does that make you guys feel? There was no fatalities, which is a good, great thing. It only landed on the job site, and it didn't even land on public land, right? On sidewalks or roadways, whatever. But they were lucky. They were very, very lucky, right? So, yeah, I was curious.
We don't want such things to happen.
No.
Anywhere. No, I think there were crane collapses also in Florida where they just recently had
the
Milton hurricane.
Yep.
And I was questioning, like, why would they leave the crane knowing that it's coming in 2 days and they had enough time to bring it down and get it safely. But things happen. All you can make sure is that nobody gets injured, and if they do, then they're well taken care of and respected, because every construction worker needs to be given the respect. They deserve a lot more respect than me or anyone else that just sits in front of a computer, because these are the guys that actually get things done.
I'd say both are equally. Like, without you, we don't have this, and without them, we don't have you, kind of thing, right? Two sides of the same coin, right?
Yes.
Like, if we don't have the information that we need to construct, then we're lost as well, too, right?
That's true, but were there computers back in the day? They weren't. Like, I mean, there were leaders from other ways. I mean, they had shop drawings, paper drawings, or
blueprints.
Big blueprints.
That's you ever held a blueprints in your head?
No, actual I don't blueprint? Think I've held the big ones.
Anymore.
No,
yeah,
but small ones
anymore.
Are.
Yeah,
11 by 17 is the biggest size that we're printing now.
Protect your investment one drop at a time. Your home or project deserves the very best when it comes to waterproofing. Trust nothing less than the service that guarantees you peace of mind and lasting protection. Meet Antonio, the expert behind AquaStop Waterproofing. Whether you're a homeowner wanting to keep your basement dry or a contractor in search of a reliable partner, Antonio and his skilled team deliver unparalleled quality and service. From the first site assessment to the final backfill, every detail is handled with precision, ensuring your project is completed on time, on budget, and to the highest standard. Antonio's team doesn't just solve problems, they prevent them. With a proven track record of working with insurance companies, educating clients, and using the best products available, AquaStop Waterproofing offers a solution you can depend on for years to come. Experience the difference with a team committed to excellence. Antonio and AquaStop Waterproofing are your go-to professionals for all things waterproofing. Get in touch with AquaStop Waterproofing today at 647-631-4144 or visit them at www.aquastopwaterproofing.ca. For direct inquiries, email Antonio at antonio@aquastopwaterproofing.ca. Let's make sure your property stays safe and sound, rain or shine. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
What else you guys want to share before I ask you guys the 12 questions? I don't know what else you guys want to share about all the Ronnie groups and everything. I hope they don't get upset. They seem like nice people. They don't know who I am. But like I said at the start of the show, I just ruffle feathers. That's all I do.
No, they're. I mean, Aaron knows that we're here, and he really wanted us to be here, and he's really happy that you invited us and gave us a chance to speak about Ronnie Group.
Well, technically, you reached out first, and then I just said, yeah, come on the show. I'd love to talk to you guys, right?
Yes.
So,
but thank you for accepting.
No. It's just like I'm a little intimidated because I know how big you guys are, right? So I'm a small fish in the world, and I just ask questions, man. That's all I do. Right. So, and I still hate government. Right. So I'll always hate government. I'm not that person that can pretend to like them.
You shouldn't pretend to like something that's not good because it's like a bubble. It'll burst. Right. So you have to solve the problem.
Yeah.
Instead of keeping it and pushing it aside, things will keep exploding. And that's even the worst part. So if you can solve it earlier, that's the best time. So you have to address them.
What would you guys do with the gardener? If you're running the city, what would you guys do with the gardener? Everyone calls it an eyesore. You get all the tree huggers. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. I want to build another one on top of it.
I would. I would rebuild because...
I'd build a double decker. I'd build a tunnel and a double decker. And this city would move fast.
It's a lot of money.
I know a few places where the government has put some money, like a lot of zeros, that we can kind of ask for that money to come back.
Sure, let's go.
I think we should do a more off-site fabrication if we can. And that will help reduce the cost. And again, technology will help a long way. So
a lot of prefab stuff.
Prefabs will help. I mean, these are roads. I mean, they're all straight or horizontal. It's like Lego pieces. You can, of course, you can build them off-site, bring them on. It'll even save the time on-site. Less confusion. People know what they're doing. Just keep plugging it in. Go double, go triple, go underground if you need
to. Everybody's talking about Sweden and the elevated construction deck that they put in without slowing down the traffic.
Wow.
So for them to resurface highways, they've built an elevated deck. Mind you got to reduce your speed by 2/3 of the speed or 1/3 of the speed limit, but you still don't stop the traffic. And then underneath, they're carving up all the old asphalt, rebuilding the curbs and rebuilding all new asphalt, and you still drive right over it. And you keep on building, and then they drop them off. You keep on building the sections, and it keeps on going. Why isn't anybody here in Canada talking about doing that?
That's a very good idea. I think that we need to look into. But the question is, why does everyone want to come to Toronto? Why don't people go to Hamilton? Why don't people go to Niagara? Go up north. Canada is blessed with so much land.
I agree.
Sweden is part of Europe where land is not available, and which is why they're being more innovative, and they're finding solutions to solve the problem. Our problem is everybody wants to come to the same place. So we,
not me.
That also affects us. Well, not you, but
I don't like coming to Toronto anymore. I used to like going to Toronto all the time, right? I used to ride right into Toronto. I love it, but I hate it now, right?
I live in Stony Creek, so I don't go to downtown Toronto anymore.
But Hamilton's becoming another little mini Toronto, right? it's gotten very expensive to live there, residentially speaking. Yes. And then infrastructure wise, yeah, they're still building some nice things. I was just up in Cambridge, just past it. And I was like introduced to some parkways and things. And I was like, this is really beautiful. This is amazing here, right? I agree with you. It's an option. For sure it is. But everyone wants Toronto.
Yes. I mean, Cambridge has so much Portuguese community as well. I mean, I think I've done
that. I'm still trying to figure that one out. I don't understand how that works. Why do they all go to Cambridge? They didn't want to go to Toronto?
I have no idea.
Little Portugal and Little Italy isn't Little Portugal and Little Italy anymore.
It's done.
The Danforth's not Greek town anymore. The only thing that's still stayed the same would have been Chinatown, I guess. They haven't changed.
Not yet. Not yet.
You don't see many strays there, though, eh? Dogs, no. Cats.
No. Just hanging up there. Hot tables.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to get a phone call. Nah. Ronnie Group.ca, info@ronniegroup.ca. Mike Jesus, Hamza, Momid. I want to make sure because I don't want to mess it up, right?
Thank you.
Director of Special Projects or Special Needs is what he said. And then Senior Site Super is Mike's. Here's the 12 questions. You guys ready? What's your favorite construction word or phrase?
Get things done.
For this.
What's your least favorite tool?
Least favorite tool? I mean,
pen.
A pen. Interesting.
Less reports to fill out.
Least favorite tool. I mean, I don't use hammers, so maybe.
No, but it could be metaphorically, right? So I've had a guest here said the government, right? That's just like least favorite tool.
I think cell phone would be one. It rings all day, all night. Doesn't stop.
I'm with you on that one. What do you guys miss from your childhood?
School.
You miss school?
I miss school.
Like recess and lunch and.
No FGs at that time.
I would say nature, I think, and family. I think spending more time with the family.
We need more greenery downtown, eh?
Yeah, less concrete jungles and more greenery would definitely go a long
way. Oh, I was going to ask you guys. You guys don't use Get Filled, do you? The app?
Get Filled? What's that?
It's an earth moving app.
No, we're on Soil Flow.
We use Soil Flow.
Why does that sound familiar?
It moves dirt. That's what you're saying, right?
Yeah, it targets the trucks and it lets you know where the next site is or you can pick it up or where to drop it off. Like it's just...
No, we track using SoilFlow. We just we input the information that we're taking the dirt from here to here.
Yeah, so they handle all of that.
Oh.
They facilitate it. No, I bring it up because they were on the show.
Get Phil. Oh, okay. You can talk to them.
PHIL. Get Phil is their app, right? So,
what need people like that? Yeah, thank you for that.
No, they're good guys. I can introduce you guys. Brian's a really good guy. They came up with it.
He's probably making 10% commission.
I'm not making shit off of it. Right? I'm not a politician. What construction sound do you guys love?
Noise, sound of equipment, machinery,
progress, production.
Yeah, sound of an excavator or a shovel hitting the ground is...
Work's getting done.
Yes, it goes a long way.
What excavators do you guys use? What brand? Or is it just a mixed bag?
It's a mixed bag.
Is it? Yeah. Yes. I've been noticing in the last few years a lot of the Asian machinery has been coming into town. But I've been hearing good and bad things, mostly bad things about them, maintenance-wise.
I think it's too far, is it? Or they're not having... The setup is not done here yet? The setups for maintenance on them. Because I've used
versus Asian... the name brands that are here. Yes. If there's a problem, I know a guy I can call and take care of the problem, right?
Yeah.
That's what I've been hearing.
You're right about that.
What trucks, dump trucks, are you guys using?
Oh, we have Kenworths.
Max? No?
Some Max.
I like that little dog on the hood.
Yeah. It's a mix-up, too.
Can you steal that dog on the hood? No, it's anchored in there. It's kind of like anchored. A Rolls Royce, eh? I don't think you want to steal it from the guy who's driving it. That's a bad idea. What is your favorite beverage?
Red Bull.
Ice lemon tea.
Red Bull?
Keeps me going.
People still drink that?
Ice lemon tea. I like a little bit of sugar.
Iced tea, basically.
Iced tea.
Okay. What turns you on? What turns you off in construction?
Complainers turns me off. People who just whine and complain.
But that's construction.
Well, when you get the workers that just whine and complain, then...
And what turns you on?
My wife.
It's a good one. I like that one.
Oh, I get 2 points.
Nobody's ever said that.
Okay.
That's a good one.
If my wife's listening to this, I'm going to get 2-pointer.
You want a 3-pointer?
Yeah. We start with 2 right now. 3-pointer would be dessert.
I think coffee would definitely turn me on. Small Portuguese coffee with pastéis de nata. I think that'll be the best thing in the morning.
The beans grinding, getting started.
Yes.
I know. Not a Tim's?
No, I think I prefer the espresso shots from the Portuguese bakeries. I would rather drive 20 kilometers and get that than a Tim's. It makes no sense to have this much coffee. I don't get it.
What turns you off?
What turns me off? I would say people that are not honest. I think if your people are not honest and try to make things up, that affects us a lot. And we spend a lot of time just protecting ourselves, documenting every single stage, every single item, to avoid these type of people, and unfortunately they still exist, so we have to keep ourselves protected at all times.
I was just looking up Webster's, that's the definition of a politician.
Oh really?
What's your favorite curse word?
Favorite?
Curse word. I've invited politicians onto this show. They've given me the runaround.
Favorite curse word?
There's no favorite curse word?
Fuck, I don't know.
I don't curse a lot. I think
if you don't curse, I don't force anybody.
Yeah. No? I honestly don't. I spend
that's fine.
Being polite and nice and
But you're special. In construction.
Yes, many people find it very questionable how I stay so calm all the time. But you have to stay calm because that's also part of leadership. Because
problem solving.
It allows other people to start to remain calm when they see me. So it kind of draws away diffusion.
Favorite vehicle, any mode of transportation?
Motorcycle.
Which one? American, Japanese, British?
American.
Harley?
Yes, sir.
Did they fix that whole woke bullshit thing that they tried to do? They went woke for a little brief moment there?
Not too sure.
I keep it simple. I like Toyota. I don't know. I'm a Toyota guy. Simple Corolla or Land Cruiser.
Oh, okay.
Simple
I like
cars.
Land Cruisers.
Yeah, very sustainable. Go a long way. Economical. You don't need to stress about car payments. I think they get paid very quickly and at least...
And they last forever. If you take care of them, they last forever. What profession, guys, other than your own, would you like to attempt one day?
Politician. I know you're not going to like me now.
No.
Chef would be good. I think learn
culinary?
A little bit to, yeah.
Open up a restaurant?
Open a restaurant.
Or pastry, bakery?
No, open a restaurant.
A cook. Restaurant.
I think learn different dishes, and I think it relaxes you a lot, cooking. So it's a good stress reliever.
I agree. What profession would you guys not like to do? Politician?
Not like to do.
I'll start an underground sewer worker. I think it's very challenging, very tough. And I mean, they get it done. A lot of respect for them. And it's not, and no matter, we've got new technologies that are trying to replace them, but unfortunately, it's a challenging
role. It's a tough one. Yeah. A lot of respect for the individuals that do that.
I would say garbage collection.
Last question, if heaven exists, what would you guys like to hear God say when you arrive at those pearly gates?
There's a lot of construction here to do. Start. We're waiting for a Portuguese constructor.
You're saying that they don't die? Is that what it is?
No, I don't know.
I'm sure there's a lot of them up there right now.
They probably need more.
I think that beats it all.
There's nothing to say.
We got a lot of construction to do.
We got lots of construction here to build.
Gentlemen, I appreciate you guys taking the time coming on the show and talking some construction, some stuff. Hopefully we didn't upset anybody. If we did, I really don't care. It's just how I am. I just want to have the conversation. That's all it is. I'd love to come on one of your job sites one day if you guys invite me. Trust me, I'll bring my own PPE. Unless you guys are going to give me PPE. Right? So I still have boots. I still have hard hats. I still have a bunch of stuff. I still have safety vests.
No, you're more than welcome. We'll definitely, I think we're almost done with the LRT. We will invite you one day.
I'd love to.
Come over and take a look and see that what it looks like when something's actually done.
Sure. Totally. And then meet the upper manager, or if they want to come back and do a show, if they still like this one, for sure. I'd invite them for sure on the show.
Thank you for inviting us. We'll definitely share with them. I'm sure they'll be happy to come and say hello to you.
And thank you.
That's it. Thank you very much, guys.